Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Update with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Danny, who is here to speak with us about his experience of stewarding the posting of both the Africa blogs and the weekly news that gets sent from Kantamomba. Welcome, Danny.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, there's so many things that come out from practice, the blogs being one of them, and the musings articles and monthly newsletters and that sort of thing. They're such beautiful representations of practice and really kind of remind us of practice and give us people's perspective on their practice and that sort of thing. But one of the things that I love is that behind each one of those is a whole network of practice that's happening to make that happen, if that makes sense. And
yeah,
I just think the Africa blogs are such a good example of that. So when there's a trip happening, you know, there's a blog that appears each day that tells about what went on a given day of the trip. But behind that, there's so much great awareness practice that's happening to make that physical thing show up there on the website. And so
yeah,
I just thought it would be fun for you to speak a little bit about your experience of being part of that network of practice, not seen in the forefront, but happening back there to help make it all happen.
Yeah, it's just such a, I'm so grateful to be part of the process of bringing the news about such a thrilling project that the Africa Project is, that not only do I get to I don't have to remember to go look at it. It comes to me, every single one of them.
Right.
I get a front row seat to what's going on, and then I get to work both on my own and with other people in making that available to the Sangha, to the whole world, in a way that makes it easy for people to take in.
Yeah, that's a great point. For anyone who has that opportunity, who steps forward to steward something like that, so in this case, doing what it takes to get the blogs from there, you know, here are the pictures and here's the text and here's the, and getting it up onto the website, anyone who comes forward to steward something like that for practice has both, you talked about two components. There's an individual piece of it. So there's, you know, I imagine, where is it going to fit in your busy life, right? Because you've got a whole big life going on, and then suddenly there's an Africa trip happening. Right? So there's that piece of it.
Yeah.
And then there's that you're working within the structure of practice, and so you're really having that opportunity to work side by side with other folks in the Sangha.
Yeah, and you know, it's such a great place to have conditioning revealed around standards and urgency, and you know, there might be a question about something that makes it clear that it's not time to proceed with putting something up, and so it's necessary to do some communication, and in the background, you know, conditioning is going crazy. Oh my gosh, you know, this, I forget the answer to this, you know, ASAP, so this can go up on time. You know, well, who says what on time is? And you know, it's so clear there's no standards around any of this other than what conditioning tries to overlay.
Yeah. An amazing thing to get participate with an organization where truly, truly You know, Sherry says it all the time, and I think it's one of the hardest things, at least I know in my experience, it can be the hardest thing to take in. Truly, the reason we're doing everything we're doing is in pursuit of seeing what causes us to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. And, you know, we could say there's a way in which that's really what's happening in all of life. Right? We use particular words for it in practice, and we talk about it in a very specific way. But you could say that really that's what's happening in all of life. But it's just that it's so rare to get to participate with a group of people who have that as their stated purpose, and that we're all on the same page with that.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, it's such a blessing to be able to participate in an endeavor, and to have everybody who's involved with that modeling that, you know, we're here to pay attention to this process as we do it, and that's all. I mean, you know, it's amazing that, you know, in all the time that I've been stewarding these various things, I've never once got a sense from in any communication I've received that there's, you know, a rush or that there's something wrong.
Boy, that is another really good point that is really my experience as well, that as we're going along and we're working on something, the voices are going to be desperate to talk us into our usual karmic patterns. And if urgency is one of them, which is true for almost all of us, especially in a culture like this, then what great benefit it is to be working alongside with other folks who are modeling not doing that, not responding from that place of urgency. Because, again, something like getting the blog up. So there's a number of folks in the country who are writing it. And then there are a number of folks here who are seeing it. And then there are some folks who are editing it. And then there are people who are taking the pictures, you know, then who are captioning pictures. I mean, it's a long line of folks who participate in making something like that happen. And all the way along the way, modeling for, supporting each other to hold that, it's all part of practice, attitude of mind.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's, at the monastery we get, you know, great support in seeing working meditation as it not being about getting things done. You know?
Right.
And so this is a great example, you know, outside of the monastery of, you know, what we're doing here is, yes, indeed, we're working on something. But the process that we bring to it is more important than the end result.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, in fact, there was one related to the Africa content just today that came through where Teresa was sending through the photos that she sends every week that then get sent on to you to get posted up to the weekly news that comes in from Cantalumba. And for folks who may not have read these last trip blogs, the girls in grade 11 are now participating in that process of taking the photos. They've learned that process, and they're helping with the captions, and it's really, really exciting. In fact, for people who haven't visited the news lately, I think that one's going to go up in the next day or so. So to be sure to visit it, the first one that the girls participated in actually writing. But I got an email from Teresa today about this fabulous meeting they had with all the parents of the girls in the girls program this last Saturday, and just what an amazing meeting it was, and the details of that and such. And she said Sylvia was over there taking pictures and, you know, just, you know, being the good reporter that she learned to be. And at the end of the day, they realized she was pressing the wrong button, and there wasn't a single photo on the camera.
Wow, a great opportunity to practice letting go.
Exactly. That's what, as you were talking, I thought, there it is, right? You know, it would have been fantastic to have those photos, but there'll be lots of other photos. And the process of how we are with that and just how great it is that Sylvia's learning to do what she's doing. And, you know, that's what's important. It's just, it's so good to remember that.
Yeah.
So, Danny, we're coming up to the end of our time here. Was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, just that, I'm grateful. Again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to participate from a distance in such a great, such a thrilling project. And, and to experience firsthand how it takes a village, it takes a sangha.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to, too. Just that as practice has grown, the number of people able and willing to step forward to take roles like you're taking, it's so important, because there's no way, say, for example, those of us on the ground would have the time to do what we're doing if we had to also save time for actually posting the blog and putting them all together. There's just no way. So it truly does take everyone. And, you know, much, much gratitude for all that you're doing to step up and to steward all of practice.
My pleasure. And, thanks to everyone who's doing the great work there.
Yeah, good. Thanks for being with us tonight, Danny.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take good care.
Thank you.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry with a reminder that those blogs are still there, so anyone who didn't have a chance to see them, they're up, and the whole trip is chronicled.
Yes, and they're just as fabulous as the day they arrived there.
Exactly. It's fun to some of the folks who have joined us on trips who tell me when they're there, you know, the next morning we're heading out to Cantalumba, and they'll say, oh my gosh, I was able to get on the internet last night. I was reading the blog from 2010 and the time when. So it's just fun that the whole history of the project is there in those archives. So fun.
Yes, it is fabulous.
All right. Thanks,
great.
Michael.
Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Danny. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Good. That was fun on so many levels, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That little conversation, yeah. So you're one of those people who has stepped up. Danny's one of those people. People who take time out of their busy lives to make a contribution, as Jen was saying, that do things that it just wouldn't happen. That's all there is to it. If we had to make all of what happens, the few people at the monastery, me, Ashwini, we would not be possible. And so, it's great to be able to say thank you to Danny, and thank you to you, and thank you to all these other people who, I don't know, maybe as time goes on we'll hear from more of them who are filling these roles, making these things happen that nobody ever would know about unless they stopped doing it, and then there would be a giant hole somewhere, right? So it's really true. And to remind people that we always are open to people volunteering to take on something if they have extra time and energy and that sort of thing. So let us know if you want to participate more in practice in that kind of supportive way. So.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add my thoughts
is.
To that?
Yes, please.
Yes, I love that conversation with Danny and Jen also. And it's just, you know, there's reading the books, which are fabulous. And but what we have, as you know, is a practice. And there's nothing theoretical about it. Nothing theoretical about letting go. And so it's just great to be involved directly and to have that commitment and something expected of me. And so, you know, I'm just really forced to come to terms with that conditioning that wants to interfere with my desire to participate and give back. So it's just great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as Danny and Jen were pointing out, one of the big places, of course, that conditioning gets us and self-hate causes suffering is if there's a mistake, if there's something wrong. And to have an opportunity to work with a group of people who just simply don't see the world that way. So I was thinking with Sylvia, oh, I so pray that however that information came to her was really kind and gentle, and that it came with a laugh that says, oh, well, you know, this is how we learn. You know, you're never going to lose that button. And yeah, and that she really has a chance to experience, there's nothing wrong, there's not a problem, it's okay, it's fine, it's all okay. And we just can't have, to me, we just can't have too many of those experiences in our lives, because we've had so very many of the other experiences.
Yeah, it's exactly true what you're saying, to be able to work and learn in that environment where there's nothing wrong. It's magical, and I would say I can't find it anywhere else on Earth. So it's just wonderful.
We're lucky. Yeah, we're very fortunate.
Yes. And I have some announcements here, unless there's something more you'd like to add.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Mornings with the Mentor starts March 23rd, and it's a 4-week group coaching program in which participants will create recordings with the mentor to support intentions for the day and for life. Don't miss the opportunity.
Fabulous program.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Life-changing.
Life-changing. Don't miss the opportunity to spend time each morning with someone who loves you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And a new practice intensive on letting go, letting life, beginning March 28th, provides support for deepening awareness and practicing recording and listening. The intensive is part of the year-long retreat, but anyone who did not sign up for the year-long retreat may register for this practice intensive a la carte.
Mm-hmm. Letting go and letting life. Wow.
It's a great title, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to do that.
The Your Practice Retreat, April 20 through 27, is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. And the retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's good.
Yes. And you'll want to mark your calendars for the Jataka Tales Retreat, May 2nd through 7th in North Carolina. The Jataka Tales are ancient wisdom stories that follow the many incarnations of the Buddha. This retreat with Sherry and Ashwini includes workshops, yoga, meditation, delicious meals, and guidance with you, Sherry.
Mm. And we worked really hard to get those dates so that once again we will be offering a retreat in one of the most beautiful places on Earth at a perfect time to be there.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And given the list of callers here, one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate from New York.
Oh, hello, Kate. What's going on with you this lovely evening?
Well, I pressed star 6, so for a couple of reasons. I've been calling into the radio show every Tuesday night since the New Year's retreat, and felt so grateful and supported by all the people calling in and putting themselves in the queue. And it's just been a really wonderful experience for me. And I wanted to let everyone know out there how wonderful that feels to be a part of the community and really feel that, and wanted to join in.
Well, may I stop you right there? For just a moment, please, because that is just so critically important that we all get that, and I want to underline it and acknowledge you for taking that step, because it's easy for those voices to tell us that just staying on the periphery and participating, but in quotes, because you're listening to people talk every Tuesday night. But that's way different from putting yourself in that place and being one of the people who is participating in that upfront sort of way, that now what you're working on, what you're saying, what you're doing contributes to that overall conversation of ending suffering.
Hmm.
Yeah? It's so important for all of us to get that what each of us brings to it is essential for all of us. So I thank you for doing that.
Great. I wanted to call in with a practice question that I've been thinking about for a while, and we're on duality in the Big Bamboozle right now, so I thought it was an appropriate time.
Good.
Which is, we talk, a lot of the practice in the duality is about oneness, and there isn't duality, but I think a lot of our practice talks about duality when we talk about egocentric karmic conditioning as separate from life, and we talk about the light room and the dark room, and we talk about turning away from it and the con artist and all of these elements as separate from life, which creates a duality.
Well, Kate, if I may? The key word in that teaching is the illusion. So egocentric karmic conditioning is actually an illusion. And it's an illusion that is, I don't know if we would say it comes from or is caused by or is a result of or is possible, because human beings have the ability, we have the ability to experience ourselves as separate from life. We have the unique ability to see ourselves as the subject with everything else as the object. And as far as we can tell, nothing else, in the universe that we know of, nothing else has that ability. So what that does for us is give us the ability to imagine that there are parallel realities in which different things are happening. So, I rear-ended that car, and I shouldn't have. It was a mistake. So there's an implication that there is another reality in which that didn't happen or wouldn't happen. So it's an illusion. It's an imaginary world that we're trying to recognize, and it's not that this imaginary world doesn't happen within life. It's that when we are in that imaginary world, we believe we are separate from life.
Mm.
Can you see the difference in that?
I think I'm going to have to think about it more and listen to this. more.
Okay. So, well, let me give you a little example. So if I'm out going for a run and I trip over something and I manage to fall in such a way that I break my leg, then without that illusion of being separate from life, there really isn't a problem, because this is what happened. This is just what I've got. I've got this broken leg. When we look to egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, we get a story that this shouldn't have happened. Maybe it's my fault. If I had done something different, then that wouldn't have happened. Or maybe it's somebody else's fault, and so I should sue them because they left that, whatever it is. I need to feel bad. I get stories about what this is going to do to my life. It's probably going to cost me a fortune. I'm going to have to miss work. Am I ever going to be able to run again? So that whole imaginary world, in quotes, comes into existence when I give my attention to the illusory world of karmic conditioning. Now I am somebody who has been wrong. Life has done me wrong. So you hear people, something happens, and people will say things like, how can there be a God? How could a loving God let something like this happen? Why is this happening to me? This is I'm being punished. Okay. All of that comes from the ability that we have to see ourselves as separate from life.
And I guess I think where I'm stuck is in that moment where I'm hearing the voices of, you know, all of the people who are responsible for me falling and breaking my leg and everything that went wrong in that moment. In that moment, I'm not separate from life. Even when that illusion is happening, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, I'm still...
Nothing. That's right. Nothing can be separate from life, but we can think we are. So in other words, life in that moment, if we turn our attention to conditioning, life in that moment has done something to me.
Mm-hmm.
You get a sense of that?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if your dog broke its leg, we're projecting. It's really true. But it doesn't seem like they take it personally. I remember when my little dog developed what they said was arthritis. And I said, should I give her something? Should I give her an aspirin or something? And the vet said, no, because what she knows is if it hurts, don't use it. When it doesn't hurt, use it. And she said, that's the difference between us and the dogs. We want to take something so we don't have the experience so that we can go ahead and do whatever. The dog is not other than the body and the experience in the moment. We have the ability to imagine that we are.
So using that example, when in the same way that if I'm feeling physical pain and just embracing that this is what is, and I embrace this as part of what is happening in my experience right now, the voices of ego, when I hear the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning that are causing pain, there's what about the approach of just accepting those as what are happening in life right now? Like, this is the experience that I'm having of
well,
this.
It's just that it's not necessary. That's because it's imaginary. So, you know, if I called you up on a regular basis and said, you know, Kate, there's a lot of ugly stuff in the world. I think you need to be really worried. You know, there are killers out there. There are robbers and rapers and really horrible people out there. And you need to be really careful. Now, how many of those calls would you take from me before you, you know, got a different mm-hmm. phone number or blocked it? Or because is that true? Is what I'm saying true? Yeah, it is. Technically, we could say that is true. But is it necessary for you to give attention to that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it's in that same way. We have a choice about what we attend to. And mm-hmm. it's not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, practically the whole world is living in that conditioned mind all the time. Our only point, and the Buddha's only point, was it's not a requirement. We can choose not to live in that world. We can choose to keep our attention in the present with what is in the moment and not suffer as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that might be helpful as you listen to this and look at it is we differentiate between pain and suffering. So pain is... the expression is pain is inevitable, suffering is optional, because pain is a natural part of being in form, in a physical form. Suffering is what happens when we believe that what is happening to us is wrong and shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's helpful. And I'm also, you know, what I'm thinking as I'm listening is that moment that you turn your attention away from the suffering, which is the same moment as seeing it as what is and accepting that this is what is happening in life. You're hearing these voices there for whatever reason. It doesn't mean the pain goes away. So if it's something emotional or physical or whatever, the pain is still there. Absolutely.
Yes.
But the suffering
what
doesn't
it gives
have to be.
That's right. The suffering doesn't have to be. And the next phase in this conversation, the next place we get to in practice, is that we practice becoming the conscious, compassionate awareness that embraces what is in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So not to be... So there I am, you know, my leg is broken. And so I can either go in, I can identify with karmic conditioning and wail about poor me and how can this happen to me and I hate God, or what is possible for us as human beings is to move into a place of compassion for the human being who has a broken leg. And then mm-hmm. our experience actually is compassion. Even... not pain and not suffering. And not just not suffering, but also not pain. Because our experience is the compassion that we bring to the one who is in pain. It's subtle stuff, I admit. And it takes a little doing, but it's definitely possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's...
All right, you're going to look at it and let me know, right?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right. Starting us off with deep conversation, huh?
Deep, thoughty people here. It's great.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jim in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, hello, Jim.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's going on?
I almost... dropped off out of the queue, but I had this idea today to call into the radio show and make a commitment, and it kind of feels like a setup, so I wanted to ask you about it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if you probably remember, like, the first time I called into the radio show maybe about 4 years ago. It was about an ongoing struggle with procrastination and just some karma around that. And I've been to a couple of retreats and out to the monastery a few times. And I'm working with that issue, and I don't want to give it any more charge or anything, but just a little context. In late July 2015, I was nearly, quote-unquote, successful at a suicide attempt because I no longer felt like a life with so little autonomy over my minute-to-minute actions was worth living. And but bringing this back to awareness practice, one extremely intriguing clue for me has been this process that happens when I'm waking up in the morning. I'll be there and I'll be thinking these thoughts like, okay, get up, you know, come on, get up. And then, you know, I'll still lay there and then I'll think, come on, this time really get up. And I truly do want to get up and start my day. And there's just tremendous resistance to that. But what's really sort of intriguing and compelling is in 43 years of my life, I never remember ever, like, once getting up to that, to those thoughts, like saying, okay, I'll get up. And there is a lot of guilt and self-hate that goes along with those thoughts. And this is just kind of an example. It plays out hundreds of times during the day. But what's really interesting, it gets ridiculous in not a judgmental way, just kind of an absurd, comedic way almost, that no matter how much I'm really saying, okay, 1, 2, 3, now get up, I'll just lay there. Like I'm rebelling against, like if I give into that, it somehow makes everything about the implied self-hate correct or something. I don't know what. But what's really interesting is as soon as like my mind drifts away accidentally to something else, like a bird singing, or I start thinking about something else, I will automatically just pull the covers off and step out of bed, and there's no decision to do that. Like that's when I finally get up, when those thoughts kind of go, like take a pause. And after I've gotten up, and it almost feels like I wasn't there. It was just a puppet on a string, a thing that happened. Practicing awareness, I'm like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then I noticed it happens over and over. Like, I never can consciously sort of decide to get up. I'm reading this book now called The Path of No Resistance. It's called The Path of No Resistance.
Uh-huh.
The Path of No Resistance. Mm-hmm. And the author basically says that I most of the time think that I feel or have emotions about my circumstances, but I don't feel my circumstances, I feel my thoughts. And if I have a sad thought, if I just recognize that thought's not about my circumstances, so I don't have to brood over it or even worse, try to think my way out of it, eventually my consciousness will left on its own, will self-correct. I haven't finished the book, but that's been very helpful. It doesn't, in our language, I guess I could say, like it doesn't see the conditioning. And it's also kind of helpful to know, like, don't try to think my way out of,
right,
of things. And it even goes so far as, you know, don't kind of any self-help technique my way out of things. And so that gives me all kinds of questions about, should I just let go, or okay to try to keep a schedule, or, you know, and even
so
the...
May I?
Sure.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, because I want to go back to something that you said early on that to me is the crux of the matter. Okay? So you are lying there in bed, and now, first of all, let me ask you this, Jim. Do you realize that that process inside your head, inside conditioned mind, is trying to kill you?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah. You don't have a doubt, do you? Because it almost
ruined,
succeeded in talking
it
you.
It almost did kill
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it almost did kill you. That's exactly right. Okay, so that's just really important. You know, there are a lot of people who it's, oh, Sherry, you're just so extreme here in this stuff. Come on, it's trying to kill you. Well, I'm like you, okay? It almost succeeded. And I knew, actually, at the time that I attempted suicide, that what I was trying to kill was that voice in my head. I didn't know it the way I know it now in practice, but just kind of intuitively, I sensed if I could just shut my mind up, I would be all right. Of course, I aimed at the wrong thing, which actually turned out well for me in the big picture. But that's how I know that when I say that voice in your head is trying to kill you, I'm not speaking metaphorically or trying to come up with an image that people can relate to. It's literal. Okay, so you know that. So there you are lying in bed, and you really want to get up, right? But you're not allowed to get up. And then what happens? What happens? You hear a bird sing, and you get out of bed. And I'm going to suggest, and this is a place I hope you look really carefully, what happened is, your attention strayed from the conversation in the relationship with ego and ego inside the mind that was keeping you semi-paralyzed in bed. You turned attention away from it to the sound, the song of the bird. That system collapsed. This is kind of what we were talking about with Kate a minute ago. That system disappeared, right? Because the only thing holding it in place was the attention that you were giving it. It collapses, and authenticity, awareness, whatever we want to call what is there and available to us when we step out of conditioned mind, gets out of bed.
Right.
So
yeah.
The secret to it, the secret to your success is directing attention. And so what I'm going to suggest, and I hope you'll take me up on this, do you do recording and listening at all?
It's been a while, Sherry.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you to make a recording that you can listen to when you first wake up in the morning that talks to you about whatever you would like to talk to yourself about what you appreciate, what you enjoy, what you're grateful for in life, what you find beautiful. You know, maybe you want to, today you want to be able to look at the trees or the sky, or you want to hear the sound of the birds, or you want to, whatever it is that is so for you. And you make that recording, and then you have it right there by your bed, and it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, okay, is to reach over and pick up that machine and turn that recorder on. Because that system that is trying to kill you is going to bring out every weapon it's got to keep you from turning on and listening to that recording. Because this is what I can promise you, my dear, this is what I can promise you. When you make that movement and you prove to yourself that by turning your attention to what you choose, you have power over that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate system, You're going to move toward freedom in a big hurry.
Okay. I can, thankfully, with the support of the practice and the
Say that again, Jim. I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. So tell me what that is again.
Well, I was just going to say that with in regards to the original commitment that I wasn't sure what the setup or not. I'll just replace it with that commitment. And so thankfully, I have a little bit of experience, especially the energy that's created by doing it on the radio show like this, of following through with a commitment like this. So,
Jim, do you think you'll listen to this, Jim? Will you listen to the archive of our conversation?
Do you want me to? Yeah, I can.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something that those voices really are not going to want you to hear, and you might have to listen a few times before you're able to take it in. Now I can't prove this to you, but I'm pretty darn sure what I'm saying is accurate. The reason that happened to you is because of the level of practice that you were developing. That's why that system took the direction that it did to try to get you to stop. So I just want you to keep in mind that what you're doing is the red flag to the bull, okay? And that system is not going to be happy. But I want you to remember that the power is yours. All it can do to us is talk us in to doing things that harm us. We have to do the things that harm us. It has no power to do anything to us. So when your friend with the book says, we feel our thoughts, to me that's exactly what's being stated. That voice is talking, and it talks us in to feeling certain ways and then doing things that are detrimental to us, sometimes in really big ways. So I just want you to take that in if you can, that it's that your practice was deepening at such a level that it had to try to stop you any way it could.
Okay. Well, thank you for your talk.
You are welcome. You'll keep in touch and let me know, won't you?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's great to hear from you, Jim.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jim. That was a very powerful conversation, Sherry. Such courage.
Mm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's so hard for us to get enough distance on that whole program to be able to see it for what it is. You know, it's been operating in us since before we can remember. As Jim said, you know, this thing has gone on his whole life. And so for us to step back and begin in that way to question its authority, its validity, is powerful stuff. And it makes me glad, very glad, that we have Sangha and that we can practice together, because going it alone is not a pleasant task.
Yes, yes. Sangha is super helpful. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to hear from our sponsor now, Sherry, and then we'll be back for the next callers.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would
great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Isotta. Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Oh, my God, I'm so happy. Every time I talk to you, I'm so happy that I don't even remember why I'm calling. It's so fantastic to be talking to you.
Well, it's amazing to me that we can be talking from this distance, and it often just kind of sounds like you're right next door. So I'm grateful for technology.
Exactly. And, you know, you're always next door to me in my life, thanks to all these fantastic opportunities.
It's good, isn't it? We could be anywhere. We could still be right here with Sangha.
Exactly. Good. I am calling because my coach encouraged me to ask about some karma that I or somebody me really doesn't want to ask about because it's really frivolous, and I don't want to talk about this frivolous thing, but it's actually the karma that brought me to practice, and it's a boy's story.
Boys?
See, like boys and girls falling in love. So,
That old romance kind of thing.
Yeah, which is not, according to somebody in my mind, is not a very meaningful theme. So it's not something worth talking about. So I guess I have to talk about it.
Yeah, well, it's not worth talking about, and yet for most people, it's probably on the list of important items in your life. It's number one. If it's not number one all the time, it's certainly number one some of the time, or is at certain stages in life. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty big deal for most people.
I do too, but you know that this voice in me who doesn't want to talk about it thinks that all these people who are writing love songs and making love movies, they're all idiots because they really don't know this thing is important.
They're idiots because
that's stupid.
It's a meaningless waste of whatever.
Exactly. They are not centered enough.
Okay. So if they were really centered, they wouldn't be interested in that sort of thing.
Exactly. They would be able to pick up the next guy coming up in the street and just fall in love with them. Because any guy would do it because they are so centered, you know?
But it's not working that way for you?
I tell you what I saw about the karma. This thing repeats itself twice a year since I was 20. So it's been 17 years that this thing happens. I find a guy that I find fascinating. Something happens with this guy, and the guy stops showing interest in me after something happens physical amongst us. My inner child goes crazy, cries, is super desperate and thinks she's unworthy. My inner teenager thinks, I don't need anybody because love is stupid. I don't think about it for 6 months, and then it repeats again.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that this might be happening because there's something important for you to see in this subject?
I am sure. Yes, yes, yes. This is why I'm asking. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so the teenager saying it's stupid, that doesn't work. That's not getting you where you want to be. The child, the very young part of you, crying and wailing and carrying on, is not getting you anywhere that you want to be. And so what might you employ in this situation instead of bringing in those two?
Hey, you tell me. I don't know.
Well, okay. Well, how about, let's see, if you were going to do, say, a job search, how not in all of the details, but how would you, well, I'll just, let me ask you this. So might you consider what kind of a job you would like to have, and then who has that kind of job available, and then what you would want to do to apply for the job and see if it's a good fit. So you'd probably want to do a little research and an interview, right? You might want to get to know something about the business and the people and that sort. Is that kind of how you would approach it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay. Well, then how about if we put boys in that category? Okay? So instead of waiting until somebody comes along that you find fascinating. Now, there is nothing with karma written in bigger letters than this is somebody I find fascinating.
Yeah, it's just the person that would make the karma repeat, exactly. Uh-huh.
And it's as if we have a special radar for the person who is going to assist me in reinforcing all of my karma.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's great. You've done that. And so how about if you consider getting to know people, men, let's call them men, because I bet at your age you're more interested in men than boys. And that, which is very good, because we don't want a little girl having these relationships, and we don't want a teenager having these relationships. We want a grown woman having a relationship with a grown man, right? And so how about if you begin to approach this from a perspective of awareness practice rather than karma reinforcement?
But would it be like, for example, in a job search, I would be like, okay, I like this environment, I like this job, I would send a curriculum. So it would be like, oh, I like these characteristics in a guy, so I try to look for this kind of person. Would it be like this?
Yes, yes. And so you will, if you were to do a list of characteristics, ego would have one list of characteristics, and center, your heart, would have a different list of characteristics. Now, this is another conversation, but I would speculate this is how much suffering is caused in people's lives. So this is what I kid people, women, about regularly, okay? So I want a man who is open and communicative and emotionally available. Okay, that's the man that I want to be in relationship with. And then some muscle-bound Neanderthal comes down the road, here's the man of my dreams. Okay, now is he going to be the man of my dreams? No, he's really attractive. Okay, I'm really attracted to him, but the chances of our having the kind of relationship that I want are practically somewhere down below nil, and yet that's what I'm going to go after, as if he's going to somehow magically turn into the person who has all these qualities that I want to be in relationship with. So are you with me?
I am, and you described exactly the kind of guys that I pick, yeah.
Yes, of course. Of course. We could do this with guys, too, and they could, you know, they could do their version with women, right? So, so there you are. Now, consider the qualities that you want in a relationship, and then start seeing where you find those in men. Okay, which are the men who have those qualities that you want to be in relationship with? You don't have to be in a relationship with them. I mean, you could you know, it could be your best friend's husband, or you know, your neighbor's father, or somebody's teenage son. It doesn't, these are not necessarily candidates, but it's just what is your heart drawn to? Who is it? What are those characteristics? What are those qualities that you want to be in a relationship with? Okay, so that's your first assignment, to just see what those qualities are, and notice when you meet someone who has those qualities.
Fantastic! I will do it. And the second assignment, or was
well, the
just
second assignment? I can tell you what it is, okay? The second assignment is going to be when you recognize what those qualities and characteristics are, and you try to get yourself to be romantically drawn to or interested in a man who has those qualities but doesn't look like the front cover of those bodice rippers. Do you know that expression? Those romantic novels that you grew up reading.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's going to be the second part, when you start actually looking at the person rather than a set of physical characteristics that speak to a karmic predisposition toward misery.
You see
how difficult it gets?
It's super. I have a voice screaming in my mind, you know, like imagining the most ugly man in the world and saying, now you will have to appreciate him, and conjuring this picture of this, like, horrible person. But it's just conditioning with my mind, yeah. Wow.
Well, yes, and what you're getting to see is how that karma is held in place, right? So I want somebody with all of these mental, emotional qualities, and conditioning has me only interested in somebody who has these physical characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I mean, you could get lucky and find those physical characteristics and those mental, emotional qualities in the same person. But I'll tell you what, you would get at the end of a really long line.
Mm-hmm. So super quick, because the time is flying, but will I be able to recognize these good characteristics, or will I be like stupid dusted, you know?
That'll be job one. And so you can... You know, to decide what the qualities and characteristics are, you don't need to be in the presence of anybody, right? You can do that as soon as you get off the phone, right? And just make a list of things that you would want in a life partner or in somebody that you had a serious relationship with, okay? So you make that list, and then you just start going around. And here's a clue for you, Isota. It's going to be exactly the opposite of what conditioned mind is screaming at you. Okay, so you look at somebody and it drops in. Oh, he's such a sweet person. He's so kind. No, screams conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
No, not him. Okay, you with me?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be fun, isn't it?
It is, yes. Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. I will report back.
Let me know. Thank you.
I will.
Good night.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Isota, and I could relate to all of that, Sherry.
Can't we all?
Yes.
Oh, God, we're all just alike, aren't we?
Yes. And I think we have time for a brief conversation. It's about 4 minutes to the hour, if you're up.
All right, great. Let's try it. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Chris.
Well, hello, Chris.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. I'm just thrilled to get to talk to you. Just wanted to say hello and say
it's great to hear your voice. What's going on?
Oh, just loving life and just so living in gratitude. And I just wanted to jump in and say hello. And I just loved hearing Jen and Danny. And I just thought, why not jump in the queue?
Excellent. Well, the timing is perfect. And because 4 minutes, you know, if all we're going to do
perfect.
Is say hello, and I'm going to get to find out that you're doing great, and you're happy and you're living in gratitude, I feel like a happy, grateful person myself.
Oh, good, good. And one thing that I thought I might talk about if I were lucky enough to get on was how very helpful the recording and listening practice is, and especially in the mornings. I put on each day, at the beginning of each day, you know, the St. Benedict prayer or poem or whatever it is, and it is so helpful every day.
Oh,
never gets old.
Oh,
I love it. And
it,
you know, yeah. And just so many great recordings. Yeah, well, the recorder's next to me, and that's the first thing I reach for, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. So as a person with a history of depression, I know the wake up in the morning and another lousy day that I'm going to have to survive conversation that starts. And so even before recording and listening, I decided that I would not entertain a single thought about anything, about the day, about me, about life, about anything, until after I had my tea. So,
there you go.
You know, if I drank coffee, it'd be after coffee. Now it's the combination, right? We're not thinking about anything. We're not talking about anything until I've done my recording and listening and had my tea. Now I'm going to look at how life looks, how my life looks to me right now. And it always looks mighty darn good, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And then knowing, okay, and then just whatever's next. Now it's time to sit, or now it's time to walk the dog, or now it's time to get ready for this or that. And it's just so many tools that I picked up while I was at the monastery and so many recordings that I'm now, just now coming back to after having some real dark, deep, ugly times in, you know, where, well, anyway, just so grateful to be back in the Lightroom mostly. And
And using the tools.
Yeah.
Using the tools, and you're going to keep using the tools, aren't you? So you don't slip into that dark room again. And if the unthinkable would happen and you would slip into the dark room, you're going to call me, right?
Sure. Okay.
All right. It's a deal.
We'll do. Thank you so much,
we have
Sherry.
A deal.
Thank you, Michael. I love hearing your voices and so appreciate.
Oh, love hearing yours.
Practice.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Wow, it's just so wonderful to have all these fabulous people.
It
great.
Is. And I love this venue to get to hear from people. You know,
yes,
it's just
great.
It's the best. Because here we are, Sangha, we're spread all over the darn world. And then from where we started with Kate, you know, stepping up and saying, I've been listening in, and now I'm going to jump in and be a part of the conversation. And then people, you know, been with us and things happen and they we don't hear from them and then we hear again. And it's just such a celebration. I love
so
it.
So supportive. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Michael.
That, maybe we should do it again next week.
Let's do that. All right. It's a plan. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.